What's going on, good listener? Welcome back inside a brand new edition of the Tall Can Audio Podcast for your Wednesday. Matt Robinson with you as always in the TCA studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. We're on social media at Tall Can Audio. Give us a follow there and subscribe to the pod wherever you're hearing me right now. We welcome back to the show for the first time in, it's been just shy of 2 months, right around 2 months. Kevin Mickey's here. What's going on, buddy?
Is that how long it's been? Wow. You know what? Sometimes when I go that long without talking to you, I feel like it's been years. I'm glad to be back, Matt.
Lots of things on this show people go into withdrawal without, and I guess I'm one of them.
Look, it's your show. Of course they'll go in withdrawal without you.
A little beer withdrawal. You know how it goes, man.
Sure, I'm familiar.
Can we just to put a pin in your location right now? Because I went back and I did a little double check. The last time you were on, you were in Italy. And the time before that, you were in the lunchroom or whatever in the broadcast center, the cafeteria or... You were nearby there anyway. But I think the time before that you were on at like after hours at the Sportsnet studio, perhaps also in their empty cafeteria at that point, you did the show from work on your lunch hour. I don't want to get you in trouble there at the Rogers Plaza. And I don't know for sure that it was at the actual cafeteria, but I believe you were on some empty floor doing the show from there at that point, man.
There was no one on the floor, and I'm sure you could eat on that floor,
sure,
but it wasn't a designated cafeteria. Okay. However, you could consume food, whether it's lunch or not.
Sure.
But yes, I'm trying to make this the Johnny Cash of radio appearances.
So can we put a pin in your location? You're at home this time in your own cafeteria. Is that fair
to
say?
I'm at home. I am in my basement right now. My messy, messy basement filled with a bunch of shit that I need to clean up in Newmarket, Ontario.
Okay.
Just 45 minutes north of Toronto.
So a bunch of stuff I want to get to with you here, man. But you know where we like to start. Are you having a beer with me here tonight? And if not, can you at least recommend something?
I am. I'm having a beer right now. This beer, I'm not sure if any of your listeners will have heard of it or have enjoyed it. Little niche. It's from the Miller Brewing Company. It's called Miller Lite.
It's not ringing a bell.
No? Oh, man. I thought it was very, very unique.
Comes from the Miller region of France.
Yeah, the Miller region. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's sparkling water.
Sometimes they say it's Miller time.
Oh, yes. I like that. Somebody should put that out there, man. Give it a shot.
They should.
Okay.
I will say, though, that I actually did have quite a nice beer the other day from Market Brewing here in Newmarket, Ontario. They have a new Japanese rice lager, and it was solid because I love a good Asahi, and I love a good Sapporo. And this was a fantastic alternative. So highly recommend Market Brewing's Japanese rice lager.
See, I'm always hit and miss on this, man, because I too kind of came up enjoying every now and then a bit of a Sapporo, and then I don't know what that means. I've enjoyed a Sapporo.
Just neck of yeah, Sapporo.
Exactly. Couldn't possibly have any more. But when I try it from other places, I'm always like, eh. So I don't know if I've just associated the idea of rice beer and if it's not Sapporo, it's not the real thing. I don't know. But I'm curious now, like Market Brewery does deliver like that. I may have to circle back on that and give somebody
a
new chance here.
It's a solid beer. Also, there's a bar in Toronto called Black Dice, which is just super solid. It's just like a hole in the wall. I got you. Don't worry.
Thank you. You might be the only one.
Yeah, it's a Japanese bar in the city, and they have a tap dedicated to Asahi, and it is fucking excellent.
Okay.
Love going in there. Yeah, there's no TVs in there. It's just kind of like a hole in the wall sort of spot. Fantastic.
What part of town's at? Where are we at here?
College West.
Okay.
Yeah, it's real solid. I could not recommend Black Dice enough.
All right, man.
Yeah.
This one is for people here in the nation's capital, certainly a familiar brewery, one that I talk about all the time. And I found this, as happens sometimes, shoved to the back of the fridge. This is from the Nida Beer Company. It's their Oktoberfest beer. Das ist gut, it's called.
Das ist gut, yeah.
Yeah, Amersin. So we're going to dive into that. I have had it twice before, once in, well, October, and once...
Fittingly.
Yeah, exactly. He has brewed this in previous years, so I've tried it. But it, so the brewery is familiar, this beer a little less so, but that's what we'll ride with here. Look, Mickey, a couple of different things to talk to you about here, but let me throw a curveball at you. Something that wasn't on the agenda, but just I find interesting.
Sure. Okay.
I'm going to hit you with two things that have happened over the last week or 10 days, and I want you to tell me which one you think is cooler or is more fun, a PR team capitalizing the best.
Okay.
One of them is last week at a cafe in Toronto, Soccer Canada or Canada Soccer.
Canada Soccer, yeah.
I'm familiar
with the story. Please, lay it out.
Okay, yeah. They told everybody who had maybe been cheering for Italy in this qualifying tournament or event that was happening to fill the last spot in Team Canada's pool at the FIFA World Cup. After Italy lost to Bosnia and Herzegovina, which will be Canada's first game now at, is it just Canada Stadium or whatever? We're not allowed to call it.
I think it's Toronto Stadium. Okay. I guess what they're calling it.
Yeah. So, cause you're not allowed to have corporate names much like the Olympics. Anyway, cause far be it for FIFA to.
FIFA is a upstanding organization and I will not stand here and have you badmouth the good name of FIFA.
That's right. So they told everybody who might have been cheering for Italy, show up with your Italy kit after Italy had been and trade it for a Canada kit. And that'll be the extent of it. We're not going to charge you. You'd give us your, it's kind of like guns for whatever, right? These police departments put on. Show up, give us your gun. Anyway, hand in your Italy kit. We'll give you a Canada jersey. And that, good call, man. Like, cool idea. Great idea. Like, nice way to try and welcome people back in. Because there had been a lot of Torontonians who may have been looking for Italy to make an appearance. But when the event actually happened, they didn't take people's Italy jerseys. They just handed out the Canada ones and sent everyone home happy. We're not actually going to take your stuff from you.
Nope.
Just we're going to do a good PR thing here and send everybody home with a new Canada jersey. Now, they got a little pushback from people who had been paying the $150 But I thought it was a cool PR move. And let me put the second one to you. And it is, you, I'm sure, heard that there was like 400,000 tons of Kit Kats stolen recently.
No, this I did not hear. So Okay. Please lay this one out to me.
So I might be exaggerating, but not a lot. Like, it was a ton of Kit. Like, this was a shipment from Kit Kat that has just vanished from the planet. And no one can find these Kit Kats. And it was literally tons and tons. Metric ton.
Fucking Ocean's 14.
And
okay.
Right before Easter, man. Like,
it's, oh, my God.
Things are about to get bleak, right? So, look, I'm sure in the Kit Kat head office and, like, people were not happy and that they lost piles of money. I don't have those numbers directly in front of me, but it took them a couple days and they kind of circled around to it ahead of Easter, which is now a couple days behind them, and said, hey, if you get Kit Kat stuff in your Easter, whatever, on the inside of each of our wrappers or labels is a serial number. Here's a website and you can go and check for yourself and see, am I eating
Stolen Kit Kat.
Like, now, I did wonder if it wouldn't bring the police, like, banging down your door to ruin your child's Easter. Like, you're not holding evidence. And
where'd you get that Kit Kat,
exactly?
Kid?
But these are, to me, man, two companies that have looked at, you know, unique opportunities, unique situations, and said, we might as well try and make the best of it. Which one do you prefer?
God, I mean, do the people who had the Kit Kats, did they get anything?
No, you just get
knowing?
To know this is part of the stolen shipment. And I can't imagine anyone who stole the kit turned around and sold it that fast, right? You have to lay low for a while, right?
Like, yeah, I guess so, yeah. I'm going to go with the Canada Soccer, just other than knowing that you're eating a stolen Kit Kat. And then you'd say, Dad, where'd you buy this?
How have you set up our Easter here, Dad?
Oh, jeez, I thought that was a deal was too good to pass up.
Someone offered me 30,000 tons of Kit Kat. for like $85.
How can I say no? It'd be stupid not to.
Don't look in the garage, kids.
Stay out of the garage. I've always told you. Stay out of the car hold. Very intriguing. Yeah, I don't know. The Canada soccer thing made a lot of noise. So if I gave really one iota of a shit about desperately wanting a Canada soccer, like, I would have gone for sure. I like go find some shitty knockoff Italy jersey somewhere and just be like, look, I'm a big Italian guy. Yeah. Or Valley Village. Italian, I don't know. Yeah. I was just in Italy. So I know.
That's true, actually. Yeah. Very, I know some Italian words. Can I have one? A Canada jersey?
Yeah. Molto bene. This deal is molto bene. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I mean, it's very intriguing if only just like it generates. I was going to say it generates buzz, but like, does the World Cup need buzz generated for it? I don't know. I can tell you that I can understand why people would be pissed off too. The next, like, you buy a jersey and then the next day you're like, oh, well, this guy who has an Italian kit just got one for free.
Right.
And after I spent $150, like, that kind of sucks.
We're handing these out to our second choice, right? To people who have Canada as their like, second choice, yeah.
What about the people who are diehard Canada soccer fans?
Yeah.
It's kind of like an FU to them. Is that what that is at this point? I don't know. I'm more intrigued by it. Do I like approve of one or the other? No, I just think that this is intriguing.
I just like it too, man. I think it's a cool way to, like you said, the World Cup itself obviously needs no buzz, but Canada soccer could use some solid PR after some decision, like after some things that have gone down since the last Summer Olympics. And
would have been funny if they're giving away free drones.
Free drones. Yeah, exactly, man.
I remember at the 2024 Olympics, because I was there working
boots
the
on the
same
ground
gimmick.
There too. Yeah,
the same gimmick that I was doing in Milan. And I was working a ton of British people, tons of Brits. And when this whole drone scandal came down about the Canadian women's soccer team, I remember all the Brits went, it's pretty shady of you Canadians. I thought you lot were all quite nicer than this. And I was like, well, I don't know. I guess I thought I was. We were too, but yeah. We're not above cheating, no. Which then extended to the Winter Olympics when our curlers cheated as well. Guys going across the hack line, pushing the rock with his finger.
We really are just a dirty country.
And telling the Swedes to fuck off at the same time.
That part was awesome.
Just, man, just like hearing that, and you can fuck off. I was like, wow. Curling, jeez.
No, you're right. That had slipped my mind a little bit. Well, and it did, it ended up, I don't know, did we catch any Canadians that were doing the penal injections before the ski jumping? Like, I had to sit down with friends of my parents, believe it or not, during the Olympics, and explain why that was a thing. And the guy that I was arguing with was saying, like, no, you would never intentionally engorge yourself. It would slow you down. And now we're having awful conversation about things wobbling in the wind and whatever.
Listen for a second. Okay, let me tell you about the penal wobble here, buddy.
But I said, no, it's got to be. It was done months before to expand their uniform or whatever they call it. Their jumpsuits.
It acts like a parachute. I understood the science behind it.
100%.
I'm familiar with the penal science.
Yeah. You got to want it bad to take an injection there, but
want it bad.
Good for you, man. But yeah, no, you're right, man. Canadian sports, a little dirty. I got to be honest with you. I like the Kit Kat one just because you might as well have a little fun with it. Like, when you have lost as much money as they did, like, this was a massive shipment, like, that cleaned out an entire warehouse, essentially, which actually reminds me, like, 10 years ago, did we not lose an entire warehouse?
It's maple syrup?
Maple syrup.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. I remember that very well, yes.
It became, like, the news story of the year in Canada. Like, where's our fucking maple syrup?
Yeah, the worst this maple syrup shortage in Canada. Nation grips shortage.
But that's essentially what happened with these Kit Kats, man. And once that, the first thing, because I'm a pessimistic guy and a cynical guy, was the, are you phoning in your own arrest or whatever.
Wow, you're thinking they're calling this a false flag?
Yeah, exactly. This is a like sting operation. No, to like ruin this everyone's
is,
Easter.
This is the government committing their like. This is the U.S. government actually plotting 9/11. This is where you're going with this. Kit Kat orchestrated their own hijacking just for the good PR. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, I got to be honest with you. I didn't see 9/11 coming up on this this particular story, but I probably earned that. I just think it's fun. Like, why not? If you get a Kit Kat, if you're that kind of guy, if something shows up in your Easter or you're just passing by some, you know, no-name convenience store that probably doesn't have a real reputable distributor, I'll probably check the website, see if I've got one of the stolen kit. And like you said, you get nothing for it. It's just, that's kind of fun. Stolen food tastes sweeter than well, I guess I still
it's,
paid for
no,
it.
No, it's like money is money won better than yes, money earned, or exactly. am I wrong?
Something yeah. like that. So,
I just saw that Kit Kat did a gimmick in Toronto where they had like a presidential style escort for one of their Kit Kat trucks going down the middle of Yonge Street. So that's a good gimmick there. Yeah.
You might as well, right? Like, do what you can to turn it into PR and have some fun with it. So,
well, I'm going to go buy a Kit Kat now just so I can actually put it to the test.
Don't buy one. Apparently, you can just take them.
Oh, yeah. Just go find one on the street for free.
Look, man, I want to start here with, well, let's start with the Leafs. We'll give this Jays game a minute to play out. As you and I are talking, they're down
3-1.
3-1. Okay, so yeah, the offense has come alive with the one run here over the last little bit. We'll get to them in a second. I want to start with the Leafs because, well, you know, it's the Leafs.
It's the center of the universe.
That's what I'm told. And the universe is collapsing fast. I wonder, as we sit here now, over the last week or so, they have been mathematically eliminated, even though we've known for quite some time it's not going to happen this year. Mm-hmm. Did it have to be this way? When you looked at what they did over the offseason and the departure of Marner and the way last season had gone, which some of the advanced analytics nerds would tell you they weren't very good last year, but the goalies were fantastic and you got some timely scoring. Did you see regression coming? Did you see it coming this hard? Like, what, going into this, what was your impression of how this team might perform? And has, how much are you surprised by what's gone on this year?
I don't know. So it doesn't, I'm not necessarily shocked by it. I thought that they would be more competitive, though. I thought that they would actually at least be kind of in and around a playoff spot. Let's call it like the first year out of the lockout sort of style Maple Leafs sure. in back in 06-07. That year, or 05-06, sorry. I thought that they might be like that sort of competitive where they were hanging around for a while.
Well, like before. They would be in the mix right now doing yeah. like the Sens and the Red Wings and the Jackets and whatever.
Exactly,
life
yeah.
and death, right?
And I thought they'd be a little more competitive than this, but you know, I think regression should have been expected. You can argue that the additions of Michelli, et cetera, could, I should say scoring by committee mm-hmm. would replace Marner. I'm not sure that has ever worked super well, unfortunately. There's not a lot of evidence to suggest that will work.
It's always been, right? Whoever gets the best player in a trade wins the trade. Now, this wasn't really a trade, but it was get Nick Waugh and then have the rest of Marner's money to get Dakota Joshua and Matias
Michelli.
And it's like,
they'll be more defensively responsible plus good goaltending. It's like, oh, you're counting on a lot here, mm-hmm. Especially two goaltenders that had above average seasons from what they've ever had.
Yeah.
And then you're expecting positive regression maybe in terms of some of the defensive metrics. They didn't get any of that.
No.
And I think that, you know, Craig Berube turned into a pumpkin as well. Maybe everyone knows exactly what he is now.
Are you referring to the
now?
Carve job that was done to his head at some point before?
So that's actually what happened. This is the Kit Kat conspiracy now. Somebody actually threw a fucking pumpkin at Berube's head. No, it's to answer your question, I don't think I'm like super surprised by it.
I'm really, man, I am. I didn't expect that. Like you said, I don't even know that I thought it would be the Leafs in the battle. Like, they certainly weren't going to win the division again. But I thought they would be comfortably ahead of that group by reference. The Islanders, the Red Wings, to be maybe the first wild card. Because I didn't expect Boston to bounce back.
I don't think I expected that.
I certainly didn't expect Buffalo to finally just decide mid-December to be like, oh, actually, we're awesome now, and start rolling that way. So there's a bunch of things that happened that I thought the Leafs are going to step back. And I can remember giving Rob shit here, my Monday morning co-host, in late November, when he was trying to say, like, that, you know, they've had some injuries. I was like, fuck that. Like, it wasn't... Now, they did end up being horribly injured for a lot of the rest of the way,
but
I wasn't yet willing to give them that. They hadn't been that injured. It had been Tanev, and that was about it. We would then see Matthews disappear for a time. We would see Nylander disappear for a time. We would, like, Tanev was the big one, but other defensemen, and both goaltenders missed time for various reasons, and neither one of them was particularly likely, as you referenced a minute ago, to repeat what they had done the year before. And last year, while they did win the division, and while they did go, you know, two rounds and seven games with the team that would eventually win the cup, it was just let people come at you and hope one of your two great goalies made saves, and they did. Mm-hmm. But banking on that again was a difficult part. I didn't ever see it being here, where they're right there knocking on the door of bottom five and keeping their draft pick. Even as recently as 2 months ago, we've been debating on this show, they're just not going to be bad enough to fall that far. And they're bad enough to fall that far. I didn't see it coming.
Boy, are they bad.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's a reason for keeping Berube around as well. Is that they remain bad. I mean, you can... First of all, I'm not one to support tanking.
Hmm.
Call me old-fashioned, but when watching sports, I want my sports team to win games.
Yeah.
Not saying that the the Maple Leafs are my sports team, because I'm an objective journalist here.
You're right.
Matthew.
Yes.
But if I were a fan of a certain team that would start to tank, I would say, no. I want to watch that team win. It has not been fun watching the Toronto Maple Leafs try and win hockey games lately.
No.
Because they cannot win hockey games. And when they try to win hockey games, it's ugly. At least it's been more...
And they win the wrong ones. Like.
They're beating, like, decent teams and they're beating good teams and losing to the shitty teams.
It's always like on nights where you could have actually fallen into the bottom five because the Rangers won and the Flames won and some of these other... It's like, actually, we're going to win tonight too. I'm like, no, you idiots.
No. Yeah,
you can't do anything right.
Like, listen... Like,
because I will cheer for the tank. I don't give a shit.
If you're going to be bad for 1 year as the powers that be over there led by Keith Pelley and his blue-rimmed glasses suggest... Then, like, you better be bad this year and be real bad so you can keep that fucking pick.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the next year where, like, you know, if it's going to be in the mid-20s, then fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm on two minds of this, man. Like, I think I prefer, since we've already flushed this season, to just get down there, get a pick, get something into your system that could be good regardless of what's going to happen. If it does turn out your shit next year, well, you've at least already got a top five prospect that you can start to develop. And if you're good, God help us, you could trade it at the deadline next year. But having two straight seasons of unprotected first round picks while the potential is there for you to circle the bowl is scary. So I have time for both arguments that maybe you just give it to Boston this year. I think my preference is to not, but it's a dicey proposition. Like, there's a bunch of unanswered questions right now with this team.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to take Pelley at his word here for a moment, and perhaps that's a dangerous game to play, but if this is only a 1 year thing and you think you're going to be competitive this year, then you damn sure well better take the pick this year.
Yeah.
If it falls to you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have it this year. And because you look at some of the UFAs this year, and like, oof, if you have spending money, who the fuck are you spending it on? Darren Radish?
I assume so.
Currently leading all UFAs, Darren Radish.
I assume we're going to give him $8 million and bring him home. Right?
That's what I've always said. Bring Radish home. Plant the radish in the gardens outside the ACC.
Look at this guy.
I mean, Alex Tuck. What a pro. I don't know. Is like. I don't know.
The other thing is, how excited are any of these people to come here right now?
How excited should fans be to have Matt Zuccarello on the downside of his career coming to Toronto? Like, what's he going to do? Number one thing they're going to have to do is they got to move to a different head coach, someone that will not ask Austin Matthews to play a Selkie.
Oh my God!
Worthy version of center
shot blocks.
Yeah, I understand. Like, it is valuable to have, and Steve Yzerman was very good at being a two-way player. But also, Scotty Bowman knew that he also had to unlock Steve Yzerman to score because his team needed people to score. You can't just.
Matthews got hurt. Like, the comparisons between the number of offensive and defensive zone starts between Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, like what we're trying to get these guys to do, was just off the charts. Like, Matthews was starting so many shifts in the defensive zone. And I get it. He's a good two-way player and he's good on draws and whatever. But McDavid is starting like 60% of his shifts in the offensive zone with a chance to score and a chance to help you there. And meanwhile, Matthews is taking shit off the ankles and, you know, like, it's just, some of this is coaching. A big part of this is coaching. Like, so that alone, like, I'm with you. There's not going to be much on the free agent market. I don't know how much you're going to be able to turn over the roster between now and then. But if you get a different coach who is more attuned to the roster you have and the stars that you do have, like, that alone should, you know, turn some amount of wins over, some amount of points over in the standings. Mm-hmm. And the other reason I was sort of railroading on this podcast over the middle of the season, saying fire Berube now, this year is lost. And I need to know, is Austin Matthews this bad permanently, or is he checked out on this coach and, you know, is just not willing to do or capable of doing what this coach wants? Because that's a huge thing, man. If it was just that he didn't want to play for this guy anymore, it wouldn't show well on him as your captain and whatever else. But you could have had a half season where, in theory, Radko Gudas doesn't blow up his knee, but we get to see, look, he's locked back in, he's playing the way we, you know, recognize him playing, and we can build around that. If we don't have that information now, right? Like, we didn't get the chance to see that now. And you have another summer of question marks where you don't know whether a change in coach does anything for Austin Matthews. And if he is now just a very good 35 to 40 goal scorer who's also responsible defensively, your team's in a very different position than a guy who might be still a 50 goal scorer who is good in a two way situation.
That's actually not what I thought you were going to say. But the Matthews thing is interesting. I thought you were going to say, you got to give the young guys a look at different spots in the lineup. Like, you got to play Easton Cowan with Austin Matthews.
Sure.
Like, something like that has to happen. You're going to have you move guys up and down the lineup, because right now it just seems like everybody's stuck in one spot, not doing anything.
It's Max Domi. We can't play Max Domi anywhere else in the lineup except on Matthews' wing.
And it leads to nothing.
Yeah.
It is just replacement level hockey.
Well, and Matthews is a great two-way center. We're going to start him in the defensive zone. You're going to give him any help defensively? No, he's going to play with Domi and
Max Domi is an absolute black hole defensively. Yeah. So, yeah, good luck.
You're wasting it either way. Like, no, I don't understand any of what this coach has tried to do this year.
No, it's like, where is Max Domi effective? And it's like, he's an energy guy. You got to play him on the third line and put him out at
second when power you
need,
play.
When you need energy, like, yeah, a guy who can shoot, something like that.
When but I
like,
need somebody to have a fairly performative fight against a crippled Radko Gudas 3 weeks after the fact. Max Domi,
boy,
my
did
dude.
He.
You're my dude.
Attaboy, Maximus. And now when the Leafs are as bad as they are, you still get to see Max Domi showing off his bulge on Blue Jays broadcasts. So just enjoy that, because he gets to wear these special boxers and you can watch it. And also his type 1 diabetes commercial. That's also there. Max Domi's in two commercials. You can't escape the Toronto Maple Leafs because Max Domi's everywhere. You can't escape Max Domi.
Center of the universe.
That's right. Yeah. Try and escape them. You can't.
You can't do it, man.
Anyways, I'm very intrigued to see like where it's going to be an extremely interesting offseason for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I find that at least the off the ice fodder is relatively intriguing for the Maple Leafs because the on ice product is horrendous.
It's not interesting. I have an aunt who's pushing 90 and she loves during the playoffs when the Leafs are good. She sends me emails like late night, like 9:45 PM, like long after Pat Sajak has wrapped up his deal. But she loves watching the games. She's like, wasn't that fun? I love watching Austin. And she calls William Nylander her sweetie pie. And
that's nice.
Yeah. Not in the way that Don Cherry does. Like she actually means it. I said something to her like a month or two ago where I was like, oh, I just can't even watch these guys anymore. Like it's brutal. It's terrible. And she didn't answer my emails for like a month. Like she was pretty mad at me that I was insulting her Leafs, man. Like there's people out there that are still married to this thing. Whereas I just, you know, I'm watching, if I can, a Jays spring training game on or a more compelling hockey game. Frankly, the Sens have been life and death. Like that's been interesting to watch up here. Or
for me, the Canadians are actually entertaining television.
Yeah. I just can't bring myself to sit down very often and watch these Leaf games. It's bad. Even tonight, as you and I sit here and talk earlier on Tuesday, they had called up on an emergency basis Luke Hames, who was a college free agent signing last year, who knows? Like some of these guys turn out to be any good, some of them don't. And William Villeneuve, who, again, I've been calling for.
Jacques Sun?
I assume so, yeah.
He's got to be.
He's got to be, man. Can I just get a look? Because you know what? I know what Philip Myers looks like. I know what Simone Benoit looks like. And this coach just won't do it. And I guess for him, he knows he's getting fired. Why would he care about the future? And look, maybe both Hames and Villeneuve stink. But can I get a look? Can we find that out first?
Do we know?
Yeah. Like, just give me a look, man. And so now they're both called up, and he still is like, no, you know, Cali Yarncroak, who is destined for the Swedish Elite League next year, is still getting starts ahead of those guys, man. It makes me crazy.
It's mind-numbing. I'm happy to keep talking Leafs, but I do have a good transition, if you want.
Do it.
To do the Toronto Blue Jays.
Do it.
You mentioned something that has been unwatchable. Well, when you think of the Toronto Blue Jays, that offense has been unwatchable. Matt Robinson, as we take our attention now to the Rogers Centre, just down the street on Bremner Avenue from Scotiabank Arena. The Rogers Centre, the home to the Toronto Blue Jays, your AL pennant winners last year. Losing to the Dodgers in Game 7, heartbreaking, two outs away from a World Series, just not to be. That team this season does not look like a World Series contender. Matt Robinson, what say you? What is your early season observations of the Toronto Blue Jays? And to make it more specific, what is your most noteworthy observation surrounding the Toronto Blue Jays?
Oh, nothing noteworthy. Just grunts and groans and anger and slurs.
Sideshow Bob running into a rake.
This is basically it, man. I saw John Schneider get thrown out of the game here an hour or so ago and just freak the fuck out. Like, maybe the most animated I've ever seen him while being ejected. And I was like, go get it, man. Like, I get it. You'd be boiling over too. We're all crashing out in the exact same way, but in our living rooms with no cameras for the most part.
Well, you know what John Schneider didn't see in person? So he's obviously watching on television in the clubhouse.
Presumably, yeah.
The Toronto Blue Jays in the...
He's over at the Loose Moose.
What's up, boys? Yeah, beers on me. I don't know why he talks like a 1930s newscaster.
I don't really either, but that was cool. We'll take it.
In the bottom of the seventh, after the fans retreated to another rendition of OK Blue Jay and Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Catchy little ditty.
Kazuma Okamoto led the inning off with a double through the gap.
Hey.
Ernie Clement bunt for a infield single. Okay. Bunt single to move, also to get on first and also move Okamoto over to third. Then the bases were then loaded.
Yes. Oh, no.
With none out. Mm-hmm. None out, I say.
Oh, no.
That was when David Schneider walked.
Okay.
Andrés Giménez proceeded to fly out.
Yeah.
Brendan Valenzuela struck out. And George Springer flat out. Bases loaded, none out. Could not cash anybody in. The Blue Jays still down 3-1 in the top of the eighth inning as we talk about the Blue Jays live on this podcast. Not live, but you get it.
Discouraged. How about that as a word? So, George Springer might be, honestly, and maybe that's a little unfair, my most alarming, I don't remember which words you presented me to comment on. My most noteworthy take is,
there you go. Yeah,
George Springer is typically a slow starter, but he's had some major moments where it's infield flyouts and he looks uncomfortable. Like Vladdy, while not hitting for anywhere near the power you'd want, is still at like a WRC plus of 130. Like, but they're all singles, right? And they're all walks and they're so, and look, obviously Sick Bay continues to get more and more full by the day. We just got news on Tuesday. Look, no one was expecting him back anytime soon, but Cody Ponce, that's going to be surgery. He's done for the year. Max Scherzer leaves on Monday after two innings with elbow or forearm tendonitis on a night where not just you can't afford to be worrying about losing another pitcher, but like you needed somebody to go deep here, right? And give the bullpen a chance to catch their breath. Man, it's bad all over the place. I have time for the idea that they're all sick. And there's some sort of virus going through, but it's just kind of been a little bit of everything. Everybody's sick. Everybody's injured. Like it's all happening at once. And I guess the most noteworthy is the term you threw down. I will use the term alarming. Isn't necessarily that you're going to have a bad record as this Dodgers game isn't going. It's the opportunity cost. You're not getting those games against the Rockies and the White Sox back to catch up against. It's not that you've lost games. It's that you lost those games, right? Like your June is murderous, right? Like the middle of the season is just good team after good team after good team. And I don't like, maybe they'll straighten it out and they'll be healthy and everything will be fine. I still think it's a good team, but this start, man, it's hurting you.
It's no fun right now. Let me tell you that. I sent this. First of all, George Springer's old.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. He is my age. That is old.
He's younger than me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
hurts my feelings.
You know that one tweet where it's like, I'm 32. I got my whole life in front of me. And then the sports commentator's like, here's the 32-year-old, oldest player in the league. A miracle he's still alive. And you're medical like, oh, fuck. And everyone always says, like, George Springer, incredible effort by the old man to come up with a hit.
You're all about that 30s voice, man. I kind of like it. We're off to war. He's sending his sweetheart and a note home.
That's right. Yeah. 3,000 men went off to war. None of them will come home, leaving their sweethearts in tears back on the widow's perch. When at the end of the World Series, I want to preface this by saying, too, that I respect all the fans that came on the bandwagon and joined the ride, as is your right to do.
As I said on Twitter the other day, the casuals paid for Dylan Cease.
They sure did. Yep. You know, they sure did. And they have, everyone has showed up in droves to start the season. The Rogers Center has been absolutely packed. I was at the midday Rockies game. That'd be last week from when we're recording this right now. And I was stunned with how busy it was. Just rammed. Middle of the day against the Rockies. Who? What are we doing?
In April.
Incredible.
April, too. Like, just out of March.
And so, like, good for the fans for showing up. Because, like, Toronto is definitely a baseball town. People love baseball.
100%, man.
But when the Jays came within two outs, and then Hoffman gave up the ding-dong.
That thing happened, yeah. The bad thing. There
was a lot of chatter surrounding, that's okay, we'll get them next year. Like, they'll be back. I'm like, I don't know if everyone understands how difficult it is to reach the World Series, let alone come within two outs of winning the fucking World Series.
Yeah. It's not that the Jays will be bad next year, but to get that far, you need
so much to go right. And like, and you know what went the Jays' way last year? George Springer having a near career year at age, he would have been 35 last year, 36, whatever he was. Like, that went so right. Ernie Clement turning into a hitter. And like, honestly, early in the season right now, Ernie does look like he has broken through. Like Ernie looks decent.
Looks legit.
Vladdy had a down year by his standards, power-wise.
Yep.
Everyone else around him picked him up. Varsho was hurt, but when he was playing, he was hitting home runs at an absurd pace.
Yes.
The pitching was really... Eric Lauer looks like he could have been a Cy Young contender if he extrapolated that effort over the entire season. Everything went perfect. It's so hard to do that again. And so when the Blue Jays are coming into this year and everyone says, many pundits, fans alike, the Blue Jays, they look like they're going to be one of the best teams in the AL East. It wouldn't be surprised to me if they could compete with the Yankees again in terms of like winning the AL pennant. I said, are we sure? Are we really sure about that? The rotation looks like it could be good, yes. But are we sure that that offense is going to be
that good?
Yes. And now all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, we have like 8 starters. And now we have close to what looks like 0 starters. Like, I sent this message to a couple buddies of mine that I go on this baseball trip with every year. We're big Jays fans since way, way back in the day. And I said, like, it would not shock me if the Toronto Blue Jays missed the playoffs this year. Because I look at everything that went right last year and everything about this offensive lineup, and I'm just not sure I buy it. And I hope it doesn't happen. But it just would not shock me if it happened. And it is – everyone is going to say it's early, and I'll agree with you. Mm-hmm. It is early. The old saying – you can't win a division in April, but you sure can lose one. And you're going to come back and say, oh, but the Jays were below 500 into May last year and then went on a stupid run.
I was going to do that, yeah.
I agree. That did happen. But you know what happened? Everyone else was shitting the bed at the exact right time. The Yankees, up until the second half of the Yankees had the best record in the AL, in the AL East at least, in the second half of the season last year. They were shitting the bed in the first half. The Rays were good in the first half, shit the bed in the second half. Worst record in the AL East in the second half. The Orioles were pretty bad all season long. Yep. And the Red Sox were just kind of floundering around being fine season long.
They're going to do worse than this year, perhaps. If I can bank on their early start.
Yeah. Everybody, it's just like nothing went according to plan last year. And that worked out for the Toronto, including the Toronto Blue Jays, turning it on and everything going right for them. It just seems like it's a lot to ask for it to happen again. That's my thought process, even this early in the season. The performances thus far, disappointing, yet I'm like the Toronto Maple Leafs being kind of near the bottom of the Eastern Conference, I am not shocked. But maybe, as you have mentioned, you are a pessimist.
I too am
filled with pessimism, and that is just a syndrome of living or in and around Toronto sports for my entire life.
That's right.
That's what happens here. And so I look at the Toronto Blue Jays right now, and it does not shock me. I will be disappointed if this team cannot come out of this tailspin, but I will not be shocked, Matt.
Yeah, your point is well made that last year a lot of things went well, as it does for any team that goes to a World Series, right? A lot of things have to break your way. And so far, look, the performances haven't been good, but a lot of things are breaking exactly the wrong way, right?
Particularly defensively, right?
Like, yeah.
They were fantastic defensively last season. And then, like you just mentioned, we just watched Brandon, don't call me Fernando Valenzuela, throw the ball into right field.
On the heels of Heinemann doing it in 2 straight games over the weekend. And all of that is happening because Kirk is injured, right? Like, so all of those things are working. You don't have Shane Bieber back yet. You don't have Trey Savage back yet. You don't have Jose Berríos, who, while had a down year last year, was like his ERA. And look, if you want to dig under the hood and look at everything that was going wrong for him last year, that's totally fine. And I like learning about those numbers. He ends up with an ERA right around average. And
And 8 innings, too. Like, 8 innings.
This is it, man. So, look, so far things this year are breaking against you. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that ends up costing you an opportunity to win the division. It doesn't have to end up costing you a playoff spot. And I do believe in baseball more than any other sport. Just get in and see what happens, right? It's a 162-game season and then this like 20-game sprint to a World Series. So at this point, I don't think anything's off the table. There's 150 games left, right? Like, we'll see what happens. Boston hasn't been any good yet. Baltimore hasn't been any good yet. Seattle hasn't been any good yet. I assume they end up winning that division.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of teams that are going to be in the wild card, like, you got to steady the ship here. You got to get some healthy bodies, and you got to stop. Like, there's no real excuse in the lineup other than the Kirk thing, right? Like, they're just not hitting, and that has to end in a hurry. You've got to figure this out. Doing it against Yamamoto on Tuesday, and I believe we're seeing Ohtani here on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Not the easiest opponents to turn it around against, but after that, your schedule softens again. Like, being 4-8 or 4-9, if you get swept by the Dodgers, and I'm not trying to put that into the universe, but if that happens, like, you're not dead and buried. It doesn't have to be your season, but you do got to get going. And as you mentioned a minute ago, man, a lot of things went their way last year. So far, just about anything that can go wrong has gone wrong, whether you're sick or hurt or throwing pitches to first base off runners that are standing, that, like, just little things. I assume at some point in the next couple days, we'll see another ball get wedged under the wall.
Right. It's going to happen.
Little things like that. You got to get that out of your system. And I don't care. Go win a wild card. Or I'm just not prepared to go. I totally agree with your point that, well, we'll get them next year because we'll be in the World Series again. It's not that simple. But I do believe this team is good enough to be in the mix again this year.
Yeah, you know what? I think that they in the mix is a rough term as well, I would say. Their bullpen is taxed already, and it's so damn early. Maybe, you know, that's a direct result of a lot of injuries. So I think that their bullpen's got to figure it out. The same way that John Schneider leaned on Louis Varland in the playoffs last year, it looks like Tyler Rogers is going to be that guy this year. He's like, "Father, please, no, not again." He's like, "Get out there. I'm Tyler Rogers. That's too damn bad."
Tyler Rogers said to him, he's like, "I want to set the record for holds in a season. Let's do it. Well, you can get in there."
He's not going to be able to hold many games if there's no games.
He throws a bowling motion. What's going wrong? Well, no, you're right about that. Like, you can hold it while we're down 4-1, I guess.
I mean, also, like, Barger just going on the IL as well. And while he was not hitting whatsoever, he's still noteworthy.
For whatever it was going to take for that guy to get healthy or not get going has been delayed, right? Like, all of that is going to have to, same with Kirky. He's going to have to ramp back up again. And that he may be the most indispensable part of that roster, right? In terms of how he deals with the bullpen, how he deals with the rotation, his part in the actual line, like, losing Kirky, you don't have a replacement in house for that.
I mean, he's so, even with the ABS now, he's still stable behind the plate in terms of pitch framing.
Yep.
I mean, when you look at just year over year, the lineup isn't too different. You lose Bo Bichette, and obviously Bo, a very noteworthy piece of that lineup. Afraid to term like, and maybe say Bo Bichette. I was of the mindset that losing Bo Bichette was not going to sink this team.
Right. And just like Mitch Marner's being lost wasn't going to sink the,
I mean, how's Vegas doing? You know, they had to fire their coach.
That's true.
Nine games left.
It's Mitch's fault.
Anyways, but we digress. Lineup is not too dissimilar from the lineup that was in the World Series last year. So your point stands to reason where, like, they should be in the mix again. But more shit has to just they got to get more bounces. You know, like, it's use a hockey term. Like, just give us a bounce here. I'll go to the Toronto Scepters for a second.
Oh.
The Scepters have been playing decent hockey all season long, but the record hasn't shown it. Mm-hmm. And from my vantage point, watching for every single home game in the arena and watching on television, they just haven't been getting a goddamn bounce.
Right.
When they win, they get a bounce or two. And Troy Ryan, their head coach, has said something similar. We've been playing decent. The puck's going to go in eventually. And it's kind of started to happen a little bit. For the Blue Jays, it's something similar. Just a bounce here and there. And we're not talking thick balls that aren't lodging underneath the fence. We're just like literally a swinging bunt that doesn't go up the line that forces a Triple A catcher to throw it off a dude.
Varsho doesn't strike out for the ninth straight time.
And you know, is Varsho going to pick it up? He should, right?
What's the contract here?
Oh my God, Jesus Christ! Anyways,
I hear you, man.
It should kind of even out to being to the Blue Jays not being the best team in the AL East, because I do think that's the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. I do think that the Red Sox
are
really good.
With Garrett Cole coming, yeah.
Yes, Garrett Cole's coming back. Carlos Rodon's also going to get healthy.
Yep.
I do think that the Red Sox are better than they're playing right now. I do think that the Orioles are better than they're playing right now. And who knows what the fuck the Rays are going to do?
I think the Blue Jays are better than they're playing right now. So it's gonna get hard here in a minute, man. Like it,
absolutely.
A phrase I've had to use a time or two.
Just give it a minute. I thought I saw you in that Felix commercial.
Rarely with man at the end. Let's not dive into that too deep.
My friend, I support you no matter your
I
endeavors.
Appreciate that very much, sir.
I would say that it's, you know, just give it a minute.
Yeah.
Just give it a minute. Let's use your term.
I appreciate it.
Give it a minute and they'll be noteworthy, I promise you.
You mentioned the PWHL there for a second. We should take a moment here to send a little love to Carla McLeod, who
has
stepped away from being behind the bench for the Ottawa Charge. The team and the league put out a statement on Monday saying that Haley Irwin will step in for the moment to take over head coaching duties for Carla, who continues her treatment for breast cancer. She's been very open and honest about what she's going through and said she's going to be okay. That came to light back in November. She left the bench at that point to begin her treatment. They didn't give too much detail, nor do we need her to give too much detail, but her treatment continues. And, all kinds of love here from TCA as she continues a hell of a fight. And Carla McLeod, anybody who watched her play over the years, she's going to fight. She's going to grind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think using the term just like she's an absolute beauty. That's what Carla is. And just being in and around the PWHL circles, haven't found anybody saying a bad thing about Carla. Regarding anything, whether her coaching, her playing, she's just a beauty. All the best to Carla. All the best. Yeah.
100%.
Want all the best for her.
This is it. A big part of the league here. And so we're pulling for you. You were over in Italy. Yeah. To watch, a lot of things. Although I don't know how much you actually got to see from your seat behind many screens. But I'm sort of curious in a grander sense. You know, we did talk to you and you put out a great video on your Instagram that we will link to in the show notes of you sitting by yourself and watching the men's gold medal hockey.
Oh, fuck. I was working with an editor. It's just this this British woman. She's a year or two younger than me. She was a beauty too. She was awesome. We got along great. I kind of knew her from the last time, but yeah, we worked together every single day in this one. So like,
and
we
just
really
for anybody who's new here, quickly, I don't want to cut Kev off too. But you were working for the Olympic broadcast themselves. Yes, service. Yeah. So it wasn't Sportsnet or the Canadian feed necessarily. It was I'm here in the Olympic Broadcast Center, and I. You know, maybe Australia isn't shooting hockey live, or maybe it's you know, different thing. It's the service that goes out to the whole world for sports that country isn't covering themselves.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Think of it as like a wire service.
There you go.
The kind of shit that I provide people.
Right.
Anyways, so I'm working with like one. I was covering hockey. You know, they bring a Canadian over. They're like, put him on hockey. And nice. And like, they were correct in that stereotype. So thank you. For the men's gold medal game, my editor said to me, she was just like, you need to be alone for this. Like, don't sit near me because you're going to freak the fuck out. As I had been watching other games, and I said, okay, you got it. And so, yeah, I just, for stupid reasons, I filmed myself doing it. And then I got other angles of people during between periods. I had somebody just secretly film me while I was just like pacing back and forth through the corridors. Just waiting. I was just like, this is awful. I hate this. Anyways, what the hell were we talking about? Oh, yes.
I asked you specifically about that. You were being, and just, we'll link to that video.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, in a general sense, like you, it's another Olympic Games. You covered Paris in 24, the Summer Games, obviously now the Winter Games in 26. Just, I'm curious, man, your takeaways from it, differences between covering the two or the way each country embraced it or your own experiences, just in a general sense, man, what was your takeaway?
I mean, just very grateful to be asked to do it, first of all. Very, very cool to be able to go cover the Summer and Winter Olympics. Hope to go back for 28 in LA. The cities are both kind of world class. I know. Yeah. I'm going to go piss on Dodger Stadium. That'll be the first thing I do.
Give him a squirt for me, man.
Which is, of course, yes. Which is actually incredibly hard to get to. I've been to Dodger Stadium, and it sucks to get there. It's just, it's like on the top of a hill, and you're, it's like, whatever. It's hard to get to. The differences, I don't know, two world-class cities.
Yeah.
I would say that Paris embraced it a little more than Milan did. Italians, I don't really think cared that much. I mean, the Italians in the arenas definitely cared, but
sure.
I was reading articles about how people, some Italians, some people of Milan didn't even know that the Olympics were there. There wasn't like a shitload of signage like there was for Paris, I'll say that. But, you know, the Summer Olympics are bigger.
Much too. Bigger, right? Like, that's the granddaddy.
And Milan only had like three disciplines. It only had hockey, figure skating, and speed skating, and that was it. And then everything else is spread over the mountains, all across the mountains.
Right.
So, you know, Milan didn't have a ton other than like being the central location service. But overall, whatever, it was fucking cool. I went to two women's hockey game, Canadian women's hockey games, mm-hmm. and just like amazing experience. Went to one by myself. Just like ran into some people that I know, ran into Gina Kingsbury actually randomly.
Hey.
Just like, you know, I'm not
GM
say
of the Scepters. Yeah.
I know. I'm not going to say I know Gina because like I'm not buds with her, but like she recognizes that I'm the guy screaming in the arena every home game for the Scepters.
Yeah.
You know, we're ran into a bunch of other people, went to one of the games with, Jesse Rubinoff, former co-host on Tim and Friends.
Yeah.
He was over there too with me.
Was he working for the same service or was he there for Rogers?
No, we were doing the exact same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It was just like, it was a lot of fun. Again, like one story I told somebody was, and like, it wasn't even just like a moment in time that it's just like, oh yeah, this is fucking sick. It was more just like, one day I took the train out to the San Siro, which is where AC Milan and Inter Milan play. It's this big concrete fucking stadium, not good looking at all. But apparently they're knocking it
down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to build a new one.
Yeah.
Took the train out there, like went into the shop, walked around the stadium. Then I just started walking. This is what I do most days. I just take a train somewhere and I just walk. So I went to the San Siro. Started walking and I was like, well, I could go for a coffee and a pastry of sorts.
Sure.
And so I saw this tiny little like shop, as there are tons of them all over Milan. Sat down. It was a beautiful day. It must have been, you know, 16, 17 degrees and sunny.
Just screams Winter Olympics.
I know, right?
It's like trying to host it in Vancouver. Why would you even bother?
Especially as I think my wife was like, sent me a picture of like fucking 10 feet of snow on the ground. And anywhere. I was like, oh, well, it's nice here.
Good luck with that. Send the kid out to shovel.
Yeah, he's ready. I sat down at this coffee shop. Really lovely people serving me. And I just sat there and I just legitimately thought how lucky I am to be in a position to be asked to do something like that, for somebody to pay to bring me half, you know, across the world to cover the Olympic Games. I felt extremely grateful in that moment. And I continue to feel grateful for the opportunity to have done that. It was very fucking cool. And I hope to continue to do it because it's rad as hell to be able to do that. And 2030 Winter Olympics
oh yeah
are in the French Alps.
Yep.
And have you seen the concepts for where they're going to play hockey.
I fucking love it. I fucking love it. So in, for people,
in the, yeah, take them through it.
Well, just the idea. It's is it Nice?
Yeah,
the
Nice
stadium. So yeah, it's one of the premier soccer stadiums, and their plan is to have two rinks sort of run widthwise. So instead of like the length of the soccer stadium, we'll put one rink facing side to side at each end and then some temporary seats in between the two rinks. And I was actually a little bummed. It sounds like there's going to, they'll add a roof, like a temporary play outside. Oh, yeah, like, let's so fucking cool go. Outside, that'd yeah be awesome. But
I also like the idea that they're going to like put like a partition down the middle. Like it's a venue or they throw yeah one right down the middle. It was like, okay, yeah, there are two separate rinks right there. Perfect.
I love that, man. Like, and
it's
this
hilarious.
Look,
I love it.
Yeah. France is not, now they're coming. They are engaging more and more, and you see them showing up at World Hockey Championships, which you didn't used to. So France is engaged in this, and obviously is, you see that a lot for teams that are about to host an Olympics. They pour a little more money into these things. But man, that idea for where the men's and women's hockey tournaments are going to take place, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, fuck, that rules,
yeah,
but take the roof off. Like, don't be putting a tarp up there. Don't be putting a temporary thing up there. Let's just play a whole Olympic tournament as outdoor classes.
Play as the hockey gods intended it.
100%, man. The way they would have back in like 1920 or when we first started sending the, I don't know, the Kitchener Rangers. Yeah, over
the Winnipeg Bombardiers or whoever the hell they were. Yeah,
that's right, man.
Yeah, so that'd be awesome to be able to go to that. 2032 Summer Olympics are in Brisbane.
Yeah.
I just like, I'll probably never go to Australia. It's not like at the top of my list of just like places.
I'm a bad flyer.
My wife, 6 months, or she's not like jonesing to go back. She doesn't need to.
Hmm.
So I'm like, well, if I go for the Olympics, like that'll just be all, it's just, when else am I going to fucking go? So like, yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, and then 2034 is Utah. So
yeah, Salt Lake City.
Two out of three out of an Olympics. I don't know.
I've always wanted to go to Salt Lake City.
Everybody, man, people are lining up to get back to Utah.
Anyways, the Olympics, cool fucking experience. Very grateful to have done it. Hope to do it again.
Well, last thing here for you, man. I know neither one of us have been following it as closely, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about it while you're here. We are just a week and a half away, I believe, from WrestleMania. Maybe before we dive into it, You wouldn't tell me when we were trading texts, it was a bit of a spoiler thing or a bit of a tease. You're not even going to be around to watch it if you wanted to. You're going to Arizona. What's happening, man? What are you doing?
That's right. I'll be in Arizona because that's where the best place to watch WrestleMania is Arizona, at a random Airbnb in downtown Phoenix.
Sure. So are you the guy that Rogers has sent to feel out Austin Matthews and see if he is willing to stick around and evaluate the new plan?
I mean, you're a good journalist. So this is it. Because MLSC is now owned by Rogers.
Yeah.
I, extension, am Austin Matthews' coworker. And so they're sending a trusted boss coworker. he'd probably be my boss, in all sincerity. They're sending a trusted coworker down south to go just have a good chin wag with Austin to see how he's doing, what's going on. And just kind of feel him out to see what's going on. Austin, what's up, buddy?
Yeah.
You know me. We're two young, hip guys. That's what I'll say to him. No, it's the Jays are in town. So
oh, okay.
I think I mentioned earlier, me and some buddies, we go to a different ballpark every year. And this year is Arizona. So this will be my 16th ballpark that we've
okay
been to. Yeah, that I've been to.
So this will be Jays at Diamondbacks.
Yep.
So, okay. Yep. Now, this is also one of those stadiums that hosts a lot of World Baseball Classics. I'm curious because
they hosted...
Not this year. The last time, 23, I think they hosted the Canadian division. The division Canada was in. I could be wrong about that.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I'm sort of... Just this is the way the show goes sometimes, man. When there was the usual early season presser with Mark Shapiro, and they asked his opinion on, you know, does Canada want to host or does Toronto want to host a pool again for the World Baseball? And he said, yes, very much. And he goes, obviously, we're capable in March with the lid like they did back in 2009 to do it at the Dome. But the requirements of the tournament have grown, and Toronto doesn't have a secondary facility where you could go and practice and go and hit and what in March in Canada, right? Like it's a bit of a tougher sell than it used to be. I don't know, man. Did you get into the WBC this year, and does it hold interest, more interest to you if it were to return to Canada, or is it more of a destination thing? Like, I don't know. I'd rather just fly down to the Dominican and see the Canadians in that pool or something like that.
I mean, yeah, it would mostly just be convenience, if anything, to go see it. Sure. I really enjoyed it this year. It was really great TV, I thought. I'm not sure if it was just that the U.S. was the ultimate heel and you just wanted to see the heel go down.
Yeah.
To use wrestling parlance, since we were just talking WrestleMania.
And we will.
I thought it was great TV. Really enjoyed it. If it was in town and I was around and tickets were relatively affordable, sure, I'll go. Oh, but I'm not.
No, you're right.
I'm not jonesing to go.
Get a press pass.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I could do that.
Yeah. WrestleMania is a week and a half away. Look, you and I are both old school wrestling nerds. We have traded texts before. Be like, hey, watching King of the Ring 93.
Hell yeah, brother.
Thinking of you. I hope you're well, because I only have so many people I can send that text to, and who won't like block my number after doing that.
Yeah, I was watching Survivor Series 93, and I saw Dink the Clown. Thought of you.
Don't think of Dink and think of me. Look, I think we're both in a similar place, that this Mania holds a little less, I don't know. Maybe I don't want to speak for you, but I know we're both watching less of the lead up to it than we have in previous years. You and I have talked in previous years leading up to Mania that they have done a nice job of rebounding and building stories that people want to see, and filling stadiums and making TV less monotonous than it had been for almost a decade before. I don't want to overstate it. I'm not watching enough right now to say that the TV is good or bad, but the fact that I've stopped watching as much must say something. I'm just sort of curious, as we sit here a week and a half out, like while you're in Arizona, will you be looking for a spot to stream Mania, or is it just off your radar this year?
Well, the boys that I'm with, the wrestlers, I mean, I think I don't think we're going to the game on Saturday. I think we're going Friday and Sunday. We're going to two games, and then Saturday we're going to golf. So, you know, we'll go out for dinner, and if we're at like a pub, maybe it'll be on.
Sure.
If we're back drinking, pre-drinking at our pre-drinking. Fuck, I don't know. Is that what we do now? I don't know. Like, are we going to go
you
to
do
the bars?
It, but you do it at like 4 o'clock and then go out at a reasonable hour.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not going to ASU bars. I'll tell you that. It's more just like, if it's convenient, I'll throw it on, but I'm not going out of my way to watch this year. I'll tell you that, especially too, cause like it's fucking two nights again.
Yep.
Like the first night I saw that they released, and actually here's one conversation I want to have with you. Mm. I'll bookmark that. But, I saw that they released the nights, like the matches per night. Night one and night two are out. And the main event on the Saturday night is Cody versus Randy. And like they inserted Pat McAfee, which we can talk about. But I'm like, I don't know. Like I'm looking at all the matches. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Should I care about all this? Should I really care? And it's like the second night, CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm relatively.
That's interesting.
Like, Punk's talked me into it for sure.
Sure.
Sammy versus Trick Williams. I honestly don't know a lot about Trick Williams.
No.
But he's supposed to be quite the wrestler, and I love Sami Zayn, so sure, I'll watch that.
For me, the one on night two is Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar.
Yes, sure.
And it's not necessarily that it gets me excited, but you get to this place in your life. I got this little guy in my world who's like 7, 8 years old, and he loves Obafemi, and he just calls him Big Chungus. Like he just walks down and he can't wait. Right. Like, he doesn't have the attention span and power to him. He doesn't want to sit down and watch two nights of 25 minute matches times six. So he likes wrestling. He likes the video games. He knows I'm kind of a wrestling nerd too. So we came over here and we watched the Royal Rumble with his family, right? And it's quick. It's in, it's out, it's in, it's out. Like new faces, new, like it holds his attention.
Sure.
So I'm not going to try and get that kid to sit down and watch two nights of WrestleMania, but he's already asked me, because he's heard from his friends or on YouTube or whatever else, that it's Obafemi and Brock Lesnar. He's like, we need to watch that. I'm like, cool. Like, yeah, so
you won't need 25 minutes for that.
We will not need, it'll be 8 minutes of two big manly men slapping
meat. Yeah, big meaty men slapping meat.
That's it, man. So I like those, like, that's probably the thing this year that has me, like Punk and Reigns, like you said, will be good. I assume Cody and Randy, when we clear all the garbage out of the way, the match will be fine.
Yeah.
But the rest of the card, yeah, it's just not that interesting in the way that it has been in previous years for me. And look, some years this is going to be off. And like I said, maybe it's just, maybe all of those stories have been built up really well and I'm just not watching enough on TV. I don't think that's what's happened, but it's possible.
What the fuck? Can you hear that?
Yep.
What? My son's toy just started going off. Knick-knack paddywhack just started going off. All right, that's off. Sorry. Okay. Knick-knack paddywhack.
Yeah.
Give me a match. Okay, to your point of like 25-minute matches over and over and over again, this is what I want to circle back to you with. I have been able to consume the noteworthy aspects. Let's go noteworthy again.
Yeah.
Noteworthy aspects of WrestleMania via social media. I have not watched an episode of Monday Night Raw in quite some time. One of the main reasons, I don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason, I'm not super intrigued. But I would say that time is more a factor than intrigue, because sure, I've watched a lot of wrestling in the day, not being intrigued, but still watching.
I always fall off between SummerSlam and the Rumble. And then between the Rumble and Mania, they draw me back in, and I do watch most of both Raw and SmackDown. This year, that hasn't happened. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me.
But here's the thing. I've still been able to consume it just via social media.
Yep.
And that's the day, I suppose that's the day and age that we live in, mm-hmm, where I don't necessarily need to watch, but it's going to draw me to watch the pay-per-view. Does WWE care that I'm not watching weekly? Because they got their money from Netflix.
Yep.
And that's not to say that they're not going.
We've been having this conversation about UFC pay-per-view buys versus the Paramount Plus.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, like, they have the money already. And that's not to say that, like, they're just, it's a complete mail-in, because I don't think that it's possible to completely mail-in.
Well, any TV show, whether it be this type of, you always build to a season finale. And that's what Mania is, right? So, yeah. In their minds, these are their best outcomes. This is what their season finale should look like. But man, it's been turned over. Even over the last 6 or 8 weeks, we switched the title off of Drew McIntyre back onto Randy, I guess, right? Or is it Cody? I don't even know.
Yeah. Cody? Yeah. I didn't even know that happened. Okay.
But Drew was the champ, and we don't want that to be – that's 5 weeks out from Mania, and you're just like, no. Like, there's been a bunch of stuff that they are clearly alarmed by their TV ratings and clearly alarmed that the build isn't what they want it to be. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff that kind of screams late day WCW. And look, they're not under. They're not going, but like, holy shit. Like, let's just make a bunch of last second changes because the crowd's unhappy right now. And like you said, now we got,
which is very Vince McMahon, right? Like yeah, this is what Vince would do. Is just try and pop some intrigue.
And
pop some intrigue.
Yeah, corporate element of this that owns Endeavor and TKO, which, look, these are corporate parent companies. They want a celebrity involved, so they reach out to Pat McAfee. He's a big deal on ESPN and whatever. But he makes no sense in the actual wrestling storyline.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I watched the segment where he came in and kicked Cody in the nuts. And, yeah, like, I'm like, he cut a promo afterwards. I'm like, okay, sure. Like, yeah, he was
sure.
He was entertaining in the way he cut the promo, but I'm still not sure I buy his involvement.
Or why.
Yeah, perhaps.
Why do I care more about Cody versus Randy?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Did we need Pat McAfee there? I'm not sure.
Well, and Cody and Randy have a backstory. They just have not tapped into it. But 1,000 years ago, they were in a stable together.
Yeah, stable. Right? Yeah,
legacy.
Yeah.
And so you could have built off that, and Cody goes off and he builds his own company in AEW. You don't have to mention them by name, because I know that would That would be horrible. But like he goes.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say he goes off. He does his own thing, and now he's back, and he's the leader of the. Of the industry now, and Randy, like there was plenty of meat on the bone to make that interesting without having Pat McAfee come in and be like, this TV sucks right now. This product sucks right now, but buy our show, get Netflix and come watch.
Yeah. I'm not so sure. I'm like as mad at just like McAfee's specific involvement or just the
I'm
idea.
Not mad at him. That, I'm mad. Yeah, they felt just, they needed it.
I will say that, I don't think that WWE would be shy about mentioning AEW considering CM Punk's promo this past Monday, because I sure caught that, and what a fucking promo that was. Calling Pat McAfee, Pat Magafee.
That was what? Like
yelling to lower the ticket prices?
Yes.
And like, what a fucking pop that got. Because like, of course that's going to get a pop, because everyone's like, hell yeah, this is so expensive. This is stupid.
Well, and this is where it gets, though, a little WCW-ish that, like, are you really talking shit about your own product? And then...
That's a great point.
Okay,
I didn't
so the corporate
that,
part of it, right? The God TKO bless. Part yeah. inserts Pat McAfee, but now the actual writing team headed by Triple H is like, no, we didn't want... So... We're sending Cody out to make the Disco Inferno line, and we're sending Punk out, like, and maybe I'm just a mark and going, there is a battle here, but it's interesting, right? Like it's you can't go on your own TV show and say, this show sucks, but give us money to go watch Mania. Like that's bad business.
No, that's a great point. I mean, it's very like Hogan, Poke of Doom sort of thing. Like Russo, this company's in the shape it's in because
SummerSlam 2000
like
or some
Slamboree? No,
the Bash at the Beach Bash 2000. The beach. Yeah, that's like there's just some bad. I don't know. It just feels like they're scrambling a little.
So I mean, you're connected more than I am.
I'm not connected at all.
I was going to say even connected to the product, even via lackadaisical connection,
osmosis.
I've seen it floated on my timeline, and this is a dangerous way to think because it's just living in a bubble that Triple H is getting past his best before date right now as creative, and something has to change. Now that is just somebody saying that things have gotten stale, but it mirrors what you're talking about right now. And that's just, they're throwing bullshit at the wall and hoping that it sticks. And
was
just
this
like,
interesting?
Yeah, Punk,
did
say whatever
about?
You want.
Did you like that? Yeah.
So, but like, what do you do next? I have no fucking idea. Oh, like, God. Does Triple H bring in like writing partners? And like, does the writing team get bigger? Does he bring in?
He's not close to sold out. And look, when you go two nights in a 70,000 seat stadium, it's hard. You better have built. And to his credit, he's done it for two or three straight years.
Where is it? It's in Vegas.
They're in Vegas
right?
again. Yeah.
Okay. So they're
you can make your way over from Arizona. Don't be lazy.
Sure. Yeah. It's not that hard. Actually, you know what? Let me look at what it takes to drive.
I think at the last minute you'd be able to get a cheap ticket price too, right? So you'll be
from
all right.
From Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
To Las Vegas, Nevada, via a car, it would take me 5 hours.
I think if you wanted it bad enough, man, you'd make that happen.
We're renting a car, so I could do it theoretically.
Yeah. Both nights, back and forth. Like, you don't need to sleep.
No, I don't see why not. I should be able to do it.
I know you live with somebody who doesn't sleep much, so.
Yeah, he's approximately 13 months old.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that. You require a little more sleep.
But. I was going to say, I live with somebody, and I am somebody who does not get a lot of sleep.
Kevin, Mickey, I'm going to let you go and sleep right now. Well,
thanks,
you know what?
Man.
I'm going to let you out of... This end, I don't know what's waiting for you at your end of the conversation and whether you'll be allowed to sleep or not, but I release you from this end of your, I was going to say obligation, you're not obligated. Matt, fuck off. I'm not doing your stupid show again. So we always appreciate when you don't say that.
You blackmail me with something I'm not sure you actually have.
That's the only move I've got.
I can't take that chance. You always say that. I want to take a chance.
Kevin Mickey from Sportsnet. Appreciate the time as always, man. Appreciate your takes. Hope you have a great time in Arizona. Hope you enjoy the desert scenery on the drives back and forth between Vegas and Phoenix. And appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Always, buddy. Anytime.
We'll wrap it up here. If you missed it earlier in the week, we had Joshua Hausam on the podcast talking some Blue Jays with him. Next week, you're going to hear from Chris Hoffley for the first time in a little while. He's no longer with the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group, which is, I don't know, he's a little less connected, but it also means he's a little less encumbered by the things he can and can't say. So that should be fun. Stick around next week for that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. The CFL season, just not too far ahead, man. Not too far off. So we'll wrap it up here. For Kevin Mickey, my name is Matt Robinson. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you all on the next one.